G'day, Jets fans. Well, it's been a week off, but you do have us back, and we're here today to preview this Round 5 clash between the Western Sydney Wanderers and the Newcastle Jets this weekend on Friday night down at Spotless Stadium. Joining me for your Jetstream preview is, first of all, Emma Beckett. How are you?
Oh, full names. Am I in trouble?
Dr. Emma Beckett today. How are you?
Oh, with titles. I'm good, Dave. Thanks.
And the recently married Andy, how are you?
Happy as always and good to be here, Dave.
Mate, thank you for coming back on. You're not on your honeymoon at the moment, obviously. Well, I hope you're not.
No, that would be the ultimate commitment, but head off for that in about a month's time. So bit of break, bit of back at work, and then we head off and get to enjoy it over Christmas and stuff like that.
Absolutely fabulous. That sounds wonderful. Well, thanks for joining me. Thank you both for joining me tonight. And we're going to start, of course, with our opening question. And this is one that's been submitted by one Wen Gilson. Your moving house team, which three Jets players are you getting in to help out? Which of those three would politely decline? And who do you think would do the least work? Andy, I'm going to start with you.
Alrighty. So the three that I have chosen is young Lachlan Jackson.
Yep.
Nikolai Topos-Stanley and Joey Chambers. So yep. I will now explain why. Lachie Jackson, I believe, will be the one that will do the least work but means well. Topos-Stanley to politely decline.
Yep.
And Joey Chambers is chosen simply for stamina and commitment to the cause.
Very good. All right. Interesting. Em, what about you?
So I automatically thought of Cowburn and Cantor because as the kind of like versatile utility players, I figure they'll be good at anything. So yep. That should include house moving. And then I went to Dimmy because he's like, you know, determined, focused guy. So I thought he might be good in terms of getting shit done. But then Dimmy's definitely on my list for the one who would do the least work because he would probably spend the whole time making Instagram videos, like boomeranging all the other people doing the moving. And I think Cantor would probably be the one who'd politely decline, but probably because he would have done a hemi or something the day before and couldn't actually lift anything.
This is really interesting. We've all gone for different players. So I've looked and I've actually profiled mine. I decided that I needed some reasonably tall. So there are advantages to packing up. You also need someone small, someone to get down and crawl under desks and those sorts of unplugged equipment and the like. You need them to be... You also need someone with a safe pair of hands. Well, mostly safe pair of hands. So that's why I've chosen Jason Hoffman, Glenn Moss, and even Vujica. So Vujica's the little guy that's going to get in there for me, but he's also the one that's probably going to do the least for me. Hoffy's just a workhorse. He's the one that is guaranteed to put in 110% effort, just get up and back from the truck to the house like all day. Therefore, that by process of elimination, because his confidence was shot after the game last week against Sydney, his safe hands, they're just not trusting him at the moment. Glenn Moss, he's the one who... So
I'm going to admit, I thought that was a silly opening question, but I've enjoyed all those answers.
They were fantastic. It's one we've sort of done before, but we haven't, so I really love it. So thank you very much, Wen Gilson. We'd love to have you on the pod one day. While the men's game stopped over the last weekend for a plethora of international football, the W League has still continued, and the Jets last weekend hosted Canberra United in a game at McDonald Jones Stadium. Em, you were there. Can you tell us about that game and what you thought?
I did, and it was delightful. I'm not sure they actually put the actual crowd number up on the screen, but they did have a big screen going, which often last year they didn't at the women's games. So that was good because they're streaming / televising all the games this year. They had the cameras there.
Yep.
They only opened up the western side of the grandstand, so and the lower tier. So, you know, that was quite full. It was open seating. But it was a decent turnout, enough people to have, you know, a bit of atmosphere. And there was a little active support section going on that was doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I thought it would feel, I know that the girls wanted to be at their own ground this year and not be the, you know, warm-up game for the men, which I absolutely respect. But then this game getting moved back into the stadium at the last minute because number two wasn't quite ready for them to play on, I thought that it might feel a bit big and it might feel a little bit lost, but it really didn't. It was a nice atmosphere and a really nice crowd and a great game to watch as well. I was at the end of that game, I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure our ladies' team can beat our men's team in their current form. So, yeah, it was a pleasure to watch some nice football.
Do you think the 1-0 the Jets were good for, the 1-0 victory? I mean, it was probably most notable for an almost viral goal by Courtney Vine. Wonderful curling shot. That's got to be one of the goals, best goals I've seen, best struck goals I've seen at Hunter Stadium. Oh, well, McDonald Jones Stadium. I'm going to get in trouble with that. Look, I just call it Energy Australia Stadium. But this could be one of the best goals that I've seen struck there in a long time. Did 1-0 flatter Canberra, or were the Jets good for a 1-0 win?
No, 1-0 flattered Canberra. I think our girls had the most shots. We had the lion's share of possession. Canberra had a few sparky moments. And we got our goal in added on time in the first half. So it was, you know, 45 and a bit minutes that we scored. And, you know, if we'd gone to the dressing rooms at halftime nil all, it would have felt unjust.
Right.
So I think we were all over them. I think Canberra this year look like a team that has good players but not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've gelled very well, and I'm not sure if they're up to peak fitness yet. So they looked a bit sluggish and they looked a little easy to rattle, I think. And we weren't at full strength. We were missing some key players.
Emily Van Egmon was rested, and while we did have Gemma Simon backing up from her stint with the Matildas, Ellie Carpenter was also backing up for Canberra United as well after her recent visit to McDonald Jones Stadium, Matildas against Chile in their thumping 5-0 win.
Yeah, but we're still missing Larissa Crummer as well.
Of course, she's
still to come back in. Tara Andrews was out. So we've got so much to bring back into that team. So I think there's a lot of growth. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right. The win puts us into seventh of nine teams with a win and a loss after two games. There is a bye that we've already had. And this week we travel to Western Sydney to play Andy, the team who are winless after three on the table. Western Sydney are propping up the table in ninth. Is these sort of fixtures, mate, that worry me? you think that the Jets are on paper good for a win over the on this weekend, but you can never write off Western Sydney.
I think with the entire Jets club, it's, you know, the teams that should be an easy win, if there's such things, are the things that normally don't happen. But I think it's the W League team have shown that they get a good run of form and a bit of confidence and they can do anything. So I think the win on the weekend is going to hopefully be the start of that confidence. And if Courtney Vine can find the net, which was one of the things she seemed to struggle with a bit last season, hopefully it'll be good times for the rest of the season.
Emma, Western Sydney do have some notable names. I mean, Lena Karmas has taken the trip across from Sydney FC to Western Sydney this year. Remy Simpson's also a player who started on the bench last year but has made a bit of a name for herself in the league. And also there's former Jet Georgia Yeoman Dale. But generally the Wanderers are a team of relatively unknown players. Do you think that will be something Craig Deans will talk about with the team this week?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that can work to the Wanderers' advantage, I guess. They can come in kind of fly under the radar, and especially if we are going in thinking, you know, they're right down the bottom of the table and we can take them. But I don't think our girls will come with that attitude, so I don't think that will actually be a problem for us. And I think what the Wanderers have in the women's team is definitely, I don't know what the nice word for it. They've got an air of scrappiness. Like, they are not afraid to go for the hard challenges. You know, they're aggressive, for want of a better word. they're going to go, take it hard to our girls, and we'll probably come out of it with an injury.
We expect that we'll see Emily Van Egmond return to the side after she was rested last week. Have you seen any news, Emma? I certainly haven't, on Larissa Crummer's fitness. Do you think that she will make her Jets debut this weekend?
So I did hear during the Matildas game that it was going to be 4 weeks that she was out. So I think we've probably got another week or two without her, which is unfortunate. But we do, like, we looked good in our starting lineup and in terms of the pace we kept up with our subs. So even though I look forward to seeing Larissa play, and I think she will add a massive flair to our team.
Yeah.
I think we're doing well without her. One thing I do want to say is the new American, Taylor Smith, she's goddamn amazing. Like, I was in love with Katie Stengel, and then Taylor Smith showed up, and I was like, I'm sorry, Katie who? Like, she is just so fast on the ball. She's always there. She's always first to the ball. She always comes away with the ball. She's got poise. She's got power. She is just absolutely amazing and a goddamn pleasure to watch. So if anyone did not go to the W League game, you have to get yourself to the next one that's at home, because she is the absolutely most fabulous female football player. One of the better football players I've seen. Absolute pleasure to watch.
What position is she filling at the moment?
She's playing at the back.
Okay. Left back? Or centre back?
Right
back.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Sorry,
okay.
I had to think really hard about that because they had the cameras at the stadium in the Eastern Grandstand, and so the big screen was reversed, and I like spent the whole first half trying to get my bearings as to it not matching up what I could see on the screen to the field as I normally know it, and it totally threw me. So but she was on the right, yeah.
Look, note for everyone as well we are previewing this game, but it is the one game this week that is not televised, disappointingly. So if you do want to get an update on how the team are going this Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at Marconi Stadium, you'll have to follow the Jets on Twitter. So, yeah. So, with all that in mind, Emma, what's your prediction for the game?
Oh, I think our girls will smash them still. I think that we could do a 3-0. We definitely have one of the best keepers in the W League at the moment, so I think that Britt can keep all those goals out, and I reckon we're more than positioned to score a few.
Okay. I mean, scoring has been a problem for the team over the last couple of seasons, maybe not so much last year with the introduction of Stengel to that team, Andy, but are you backing Emma's prediction that the Jets will come away with 3 points?
Yeah, I think we'll get a 3-1 victory, and I think the one goal for Western Sydney will come off something just stupid and scrappy in a box melee or something weird like that. So
inconsequential, mate. That's how we like them. I'm actually going to predict a Jets 2-0 win. I think that the Jets are good for a clean sheet against the Wanderers, and I'm actually going to go out there and on a limb and say Taylor Smith is going to be the player that scores. There has been a lot of exciting news about Taylor and her introduction to the team this year, and this was even before Emma said I was actually going to pick Taylor Smith to be the first goal scorer for the Jets this weekend. So 2-0 win for me. Hopefully that is the case. So, round 5, this Friday night, 23rd of November, kicking off at 10 minutes to 8, 7:50 p.m. New South Wales time. Western Sydney Wanderers versus the Newcastle Jets. Overall, there's been 18 matches between two teams. The Jets have 4, Wanderers have 8, and 6. In Sydney, there's been 9 matches. 3 of the Jets' wins have come down in Sydney. 3 of the Wanderers' wins, and there's also been 3 draws. So, one this weekend, the 10th match, someone's going to get ahead. Goals in the fixture, 21 to the Jets, 27 to the Wanderers, 12 to the Jets in Sydney, 13 to the Wanderers. First goals, this is where it's a little bit worrying. First goals in the fixture, Jets 5, Wanderers 13. Cards in the fixture, relatively even, 38 to 29. The last result was a draw between the Jets and the Western Sydney Wanderers, most notable for Andrew Naboot's stunning outside goal in round 20. Down at Windlass Stadium. Biggest win, 4-0 win, which was last season. Heaviest defeat is a 3-0 loss. Well, leading scorers in the fixture, Adam Taggart has 3 for the Jets, mark. Bridge has 6 for the one. So, Andy, the Jets are coming off a week off as well. Do you think that most of the time that we've spent on the training field around this break has been on hopefully Ernie Merrick focusing on solving the attacking woes of the team?
You would hope so. I feel like the Jets are the only team we haven't heard in the media of the last week complaining about how physical and hard training's been. So I think they've really just taken on what they need to work on and not just turned it into a week-long boot camp. So I would say they've definitely focused on the areas that they need to focus on, and hopefully with players like Dimmy now apparently having something to prove for being left out of the Socceroos team, that we'll be able to fix some of those small issues and get back on track.
Dibby's returning from the Socceroos, as Andy mentioned there, where he wasn't used at all, though he did get the opportunity to train with the team. I think the fact that he wasn't a former Mariners player probably played some part of the fact that he didn't see the field. But do you think that it's a good thing Dimmy hasn't spent... while he's been away, he hasn't actually played on Tuesday night, given that we're backing up again on Friday?
Yeah, and I guess maybe you get the best of both worlds there, right, where he got to have the exposure and the, you know, the influence and maybe learn a few things without actually getting worn out or injured, I guess. And, you know, maybe he'll have something to prove in terms of improving his performance so that he will get some game time next time, because he definitely still has to be a look in for that team. He deserves to be there. So I do think that he's got a good chance, and hopefully he'll be playing to prove it, not just this game, but for all the rest of the games this year.
The defence has been really good this season so far, Andy. We've only conceded on multiple occasions. Once that was over in Wellington, and you look at some of the goals that we have conceded. We've got Daniel Georgeski's own goal. That they can be considered unlucky. The own goal, as I just mentioned, the spill from Glenn Moss, the save that Moss made from Roy Krishna's penalty for the second, but then Krishna followed up with the rebound. Those goals aside, are we going to be looking to make any changes with that consideration in mind, that generally, despite a bit of poor luck, in one word, that the defence has been pretty solid?
I would say that our backline, yeah, has been solid, and one of the positives is that it seems like players in our backline aren't just sticking to their positions. You know, if our centres in Topper and Boogs have to go out wide, they'll go out wide and cover those spots. If Lockie or Georgeski have to come in, then they'll do the same. And that's what I feel has allowed us to concede so few, and that the ones we are conceding are for stranger things, because we have that entire back line that's working together. And with Jugarkovic and Kanarovsky both having that bit more defensive side to their play, I feel it's tightening up that back area, but also allowing people to get into forward areas. So I think it'll definitely be a similar, if not the same, back four, and be able to keep a pretty solid return of not leaking too many more goals.
Nikolai Topol-Stanley this weekend, Emma, will surpass Ben Kennedy's 100th for the club, and that moves the overall standings in terms of appearances in the A-League for the... Have you seen Nikolai's form so far this season?
Oh, that's a tough one. I feel like I've barely noticed him, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, we are in discussions, apparently, with him to extend his contract for at least another season. Does that come as a surprise to you?
Oh, no, I'm totally fine with that. I guess, you know, I'm struggling to reflect on his form specifically for this season. But in general, I think Topper-Stanley is solid, and I think he's a good influence to have in the club, regardless of his actual playing potential. But yeah, I think he's solid at the back. I have no worries about him. I'm much more comfortable with him overall than I am with anyone else in that back line in terms of reliability. But I'm struggling to think about anything specific he's done this season. He's almost scored a header, but yeah, not sure on the specifics of this season, but yeah, happy. If he stays, I'm happy overall.
It's interesting as well, Andy. I mean, for all of our scoring woes so far this year, we have scored in 15 consecutive away fixtures. But conversely as well, the Jets have only kept two clean sheets in their last 31 away matches, which I think is, which surprises me and I think is terrible. Do you think that that is something that will be in the minds of the back four, despite their relative strength that they've shown so far this year, that there's always that nagging feeling we just can't keep a clean sheet?
I would say that it would certainly be something they're aware of, and I think that that can only be a positive that they're aware that they have that record and are mentally preparing for how they are going to actually, you know, limit the amount of opportunities to get past them and create goal-scoring chances. So I think they'll certainly be aware, but I don't think Ernie or any of the other staff will allow them to dwell on past results. I think they'll be left to sort of be aware of it and have a healthy respect for it, but at the same time know this is the job that's there to be done.
There's reports as well that Matthew Redenton is returned to fitness following his minor calf strain that kept him out from the previous fixture against Sydney FC. Do you think that Redenton will return to the starting lineup, or Ben Kantorovsky retain his place? And if Ben Kantorovsky is going to retain his place, is Redenton going to come onto the bench in place of, say, Nick Cowburn, who last weekend has actually been playing okay and scored his first A-League goal, becoming the 81st player to score the club in the A-League in the process? What do you think Ernie's going to do in this this conundrum he's got?
Yeah, I don't reckon this is going to be as much as a conundrum as we think, because I'm imagining what's going to happen is Ben Kantorovsky's going to hurt himself any second, which is then going to take the whole question away. It was very convenient that Redenton hurt himself when he did to give Kantorovsky the walk back in. But Kana's going to do a knee or a hemi or something at any goddamn second. I am so certain of that. It's peak Kana, isn't it? So
yeah, it's peak Kana.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually going to end up being a problem, but I think as long as Kana's fit, he's probably going to have that start. And I think he's earned that starting position, you know, over the last season and, you know, with the work that he's put in, so I don't have a problem with that. Losing Nick Cowburn off the bench, though, I think would be pretty rough, given, as what I said at the beginning, his clear versatility as a substitute. I think he makes an excellent member of the bench, just because you can basically do whatever you like with him once you've got him. So, yeah, rough on Redenton, though, if he drops out completely. But because I don't think... I guess he didn't do great in the first couple of games, but he didn't do terribly. And he probably needed just a few more games to settle, and he's probably not going to get that opportunity now. But you know what? Them's the breaks.
What do you reckon, Andy? I mean, Emma's not bringing Redenton back in, and I certainly said there was a positive change when Kantorovsky came in against Sydney. The pressure, the intensity just lifted. Do you think that Redenton's going to walk back into his starting lineup, or Kantor's holding on to the position for another week?
Kantor will hold the starting position, I feel, but I think we're going to be asking that question of where's Fuita again. I think that with the game, I know Cowburn just come on and scored, and that may get blown a bit out of proportion, but I could see him retaining a spot on the bench to create that, you know, utility player that can play pretty much anywhere across the park. So I think for Ivan, it might be another week of MIA with no explanation to allow someone like Redenton to come back into the team.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, he'll be there moving my house for starters. But, who's it a big week for? Who's under pressure to perform that you see this week in that starting line?
Hoffie. I think Hoffie's under the pressure to perform. He's not had the greatest start to the season, and this season is really where he has to, I guess, make his mark, either prove he really is an attacker where he's ended up, or find his way back into the back line. So I think he's the one who really needs to step up in terms of performance this game.
Andy, what about you, mate? Do you agree?
I agree. We know with Hoffie, is his preferred position further up the park? Is he happy to just do a job? I mean, is he just happy to be there wherever he's used, or is he trying to actually cement a position in this team? Because I think that he had that great season where he was able to play off people and create chances and run in and all that sort of stuff, whereas if now it's that he's got the pressure to deliver and he may not be coping with it as well. So, yeah, I definitely agree that he is the one that will have the most pressure from the current starting lineup to produce over the next few weeks. That, and I'd say whether they're going to persist with Jair or not, to potentially free up for, you know, a Kane Shepherd or someone like that to get a few more games and actually start under the belt.
You see, I would have actually gone with Jair more so than Jason Hoffman. I can see the points that you're both raising, and I think that they're valid points. Jason Hoffman is probably the second player I would have picked out of that team. But Jair is the player who has come in with, look, an element of the visa player, the element of the international experience as well, that I think who has so far failed to live up to any of the hype. And as I spoke about in the review episode that Ferns hosted a couple of weeks ago, we're not actually seeing any building of his fitness, his match fitness, and hopefully that's something that's been worked on during the international break. But the player you mentioned there, Andy, was Andy Thurgate, and Angus Thurgate, the poor Macquarie Pele. I'm won't edit that. Thurgate in his short appearance last week, or the week before last, I thought he made a big impact. Do you think that he's a player that could look to force his way into the starting lineup this year or this week and possibly put doubt into Ernie Merrick's mind?
Probably not this week. I think one thing we want to be careful with Thurgate, yes, I do want to see him starting eventually, and I do agree that he absolutely upped the intensity when he came on in the last match. But we don't want to go too hard, too fast on him and, you know, put him under too much pressure to perform. I think, you know, increasing his time on as a sub so we can keep the hunger without having that initial pressure, I think is something we're going to see for a little while. And I totally agree with you that Jair does need to perform better. And I guess the reason why I didn't pick him when you first asked the question was I think, given that they have hyped and invested and brought him in all the ways that you mentioned, I think he's going to be given more leeway in terms of, oh, yeah, but he will pay off. Oh, yeah, but the creativity will come. Oh, yeah, but we will see it. I think you're going to see more of that with him, whereas Hoffy, we've seen what he can do. We know what he can do, and if he's not bringing it, we need to start asking why.
Well, if we have a look at the Wanderers, Andy, they've been mixed, I think, in their performances so far this season. The two matches that have been between these two teams at Windless Stadium have both ended in 2-2. I mean, for the Wanderers, I mean, Albert Riera is the ex-Liverpool player. Bloody hell, he found some form last week. But defence, I think, remains their question. Do you see the Jets having a bit of luck or having a bit of, like, coming up against the Wanderers with a bit of confidence out of them, or do you think that there's a chance we may underestimate them?
I think that it'll come down to just looking at the history of this season. It seems that for the Wanderers, it's score early and score often, and then they're not really able to string a performance for a full match. So I think they'll perhaps score an early goal or something like that, and then hopefully fall apart. It doesn't seem like they have the cohesion as a team to see the match out, and they're either getting ahead early or trailing and managing to get the draw back later in the match. So who really knows what we'll get, but I think the Jets now know that they need to take each opposition as they come and not really focus on previous results, because like always, Western Sydney has changed quite a bit over, you know, the previous season and bring a few of the Melbourne City rejects in by the looks of things.
The bright spark for the Wanderers this year, though, Emma, has probably been Alexander Baum-Johan, who has created who's almost had a similar impact early on to that that Ronnie Vargas provided last year for the Jets. But he's actually scoring goals for the Wanderers. Is the key to shutting the Wanderers down looking to shut him out the game?
Yeah, I guess. I'm glad you got to say his name before I had to, because I'm not sure I would have quite got that out.
We use you for the Nordic names. That's
yeah. yeah.
How are you?
He's German, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's German. I'll do the German. You do the Nordic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got the horny pants.
Yeah, thanks. Now I can't think. Definitely he's probably going to be a key to shut down. He has definitely added a bit of spark for them. But I think they're in a very similar position to us in terms of, you know, not quite being able. They haven't quite started this season the way they wanted to. And this is their first proper home game, I think. So I think they're going to see this game as the reawakening, the big start to their season. I guess the kind of way we were thinking, you know, we didn't get back to playing at home until the last round. So I think that they're going to see this as their big chance to, you know, get everything together and shine. Shut the new German down would be great.
Bruce Kamau's reintroduction, I think, added a bit of spark, particularly last week, Andy. Are you seeing him as their key attacking threat along with Marmi Ohan?
Kamau's a player that I think is wanting to sort of force his way into representative teams and all that sort of stuff, and only has a few weeks to really prove that. I don't think he will be in Arnie's plans for the Asian Cup or anything, but the decision to go to the Wanderers, I feel, has to be a decision to want to be able to break out of the mould and play his own style. So I think he certainly has a lot to prove, and if he can link up with, you know, providing service to Riera and other players in the middle, then he could be a real force this season.
Last part, I guess, of the Wanderers I want to talk about, Emma, is their midfield control. And it's been a source of almost a bit of mocking that they've been underestimated with Keanu Backus, the younger of the Backus brothers, Jordan O'Doherty, pardon me, and Rashid Yellow Card Machine Mahazi controlling their two holding midfield positions. They're not names that necessarily on paper would scare you, but is there a chance that we could go in underestimating the quality that they could provide and what they could do to the Jets?
Oh, I don't think we'll be underestimating anyone. And I think, you know, as Andy said at the beginning, the Jets do have that tendency to, you know, lose the games they should win and win the games they should lose. And hopefully they have cottoned on to that by now, if we all have. And they're not going to come in with any kind of pretense there. But, I mean, the Wanderers are a really mixed team this year in terms of, you know, they've got some good players and they've got some, I don't know, kind of space fillers. It's going to be a tricky one and really could go either way.
Okay. Well, look, talking about the match then, Emma, I'll go to you and then Andy, you follow after Emma. What do you think is going to be the key to the Jets getting three?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going for Andy first. I was totally paying attention. so I can't go with my sarcastic. We need to score goals to be the key. But I just think we need to finish some of the chances. The Jets have created a lot of chances that they have not finished, and I think that's going to be the key for us. So I guess getting through their back line to get those chances is going to be the key. I'm guessing Risden's not playing.
I think he might.
I'd feel better if Risden didn't play. I think we'd have a better chance at getting through if he wasn't there. But, yeah, I think we need to have maximum chances so that one of them can finally go away, which is going to mean dancing through that midfield and powering through that back line.
Eddie?
Risden didn't play at all last night, did he? Was he even in the squad for the Socceroos? But I think the goal for this week would be to obviously score goals, but also to not take the play necessarily all through the predicted channels of Ronnie and Demi, and actually maybe look to bring it from a bit deeper with a Kanarovsky or Yugarkovic bringing it through and playing off those kind of players like a Demi or Ronnie, and create chances that aren't necessarily clear-cut and expected, but maybe just have a shot every now and then from a bit further out and see if it pays off.
Okay, and what did Western Sydney, Andy, we'll stick with you before then, Emma, you can just... What do you think Western Sydney are going to do if they're going to get the win this week?
Hope and pray that the VAR works for them in the way they wish.
Ouch! Ouch!
Well, yeah,
there's your standard VAR chat. Em?
No.
So, Andy, you keep going, mate.
I was just going to say, I think that, again, with what I said earlier, Riera will get a lucky toe to something, and that maybe that will be a way that they can take the lead. But apart from that, I think it'll just be if that sort of front four can work well, then maybe that could see something pay off for them. But hopefully the back line of the Jets that we spoke about will be able to hold them out.
Em?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is I think the Wanderers' game plan is going to be ping it to Riera. Keep Riera up there. I reckon he's going to get caught multiple times in the offside trap because he's going to stay nice and high and just keep waiting for his chances. So, yeah, I think that's probably going to be their route to goal.
Personally, for me, I think the key is going to come to whoever can free their attacking threat, Damiao. And that's where the occur, and that will be the key in the match also. And because both sides are both as leaky as each other, especially for the Jets on the road, so they're always Western Sydney's defence has been a bit of a shambles so far this season, so I think that will be this match. So we've got some five hot questions before we finish up and give our predictions for the match. Em, we'll start with you on both of these, and Andy, you go in after. Will the Jets find their free-flowing ways again and score some goals this weekend, Emma?
I wish, but probably not. I think we might need a few more games before that happens.
Andy?
I think we'll scrape through with maybe one or two.
Okay. Can the Jets keep a clean sheet? Question two. Em?
Not this week.
Okay. Andy?
Absolutely not.
And how do we stop the creative threats of each team?
I was going to say break some legs, but that might give people the wrong idea.
Kick tons of shit out of them. How's that?
but no, probably in a slightly less aggressive manner. I guess we need to go hard on them in terms of neutralising those key players. So we need Georgescu to be giving a few spectacular challenges to kind of rough people up a little bit and make them think twice about going for it.
Yep. Andy?
Across the back, we need to be frustrating people. I think with someone especially like Riera that can get frustrated with offside traps and, you know, those little niggling plays, I think that'll be the key to put him off the game, forcing them to take shots from a bit further out, and that will lead to success for us, I feel.
Okay, next question. Will Spotless remain winless for both teams? Em?
Yeah, because I'm tipping a draw.
Okay, Andy?
I feel the same.
Okay, and final question. Does Marcus Babbel again become a rabble? Will we see Marcus lose his, throw his top down on the side and storm and get sent off the field? Emma?
Nah, he's got his brownie points. He did that to endear himself to the fans. He didn't do that for any other reason. That was all about getting the fans on side with him. So, he's done that. He's scored those brownie points. He's not going to do it again.
I've got two extra questions as well, by the way, before we keep on going. Andy, do you think Marcus Babbel will again become a rabble?
No, I think that was a bit of drama for the game that it was involved in, and I think he'll, unless the, you know, something happens with that certain piece of technology again, I don't think he will want to cop the fines and stuff like that for carrying on like that. So I think he'll be cool, calm, and somewhat collected.
Another 2 points that I'd like to discuss that I picked out while writing my preview, for this weekend on NewcastleFootball.net/forum. The last opposition player sent off in an away Jets fixture was Nigel Bogard in round 8 of season 2013-14. That's a current streak of 65 consecutive matches where an away player, well, a home player of a Jets opposition, has not been sent off. Emma, do you think that we're going to see a red card for a Western Sydney?
Gosh, I hope so.
Andy, are we going to break that streak?
I think Lorente could be good for something, or maybe Backus, but outside of those two, I don't see a short
Backus for a red.
There's a red card in a referee's pocket. Probably not.
Would say, Backus wouldn't say boo to a goose. The only way he's going to get a red is if he gets confused.
Okay. It's Rashid Mahazi. It's got Rashid Mahazi written all over it. Anyway. The last three goals that the Wanderers have scored against the Jets, Emma, is that streak going to continue?
Probably. I think with the whole VAR ongoing debacles, which, you know, granted has been a little bit better this last round, I think the Wanderers are going to be milking everything they can.
Andy?
I think there will be a penalty for some form of effort on one of their players that is simulated and made look a lot worse than what it is.
That's very diplomatic. We've only ever received one in the history of, and that was up at Hunter Stadium, and Lee KG put that one away after Santa Grubb came on and put a very. So, with that, prediction time. Andy, what's your prediction for the match? You've already said a draw. What's your score?
2-2.
Okay. Again. Emma?
Damn, no, mine's the same.
Okay. I'm actually picking a Jets 2-1 victory. Points. We need those points, and we'll be good after the. We'll be good for the break. So that's what I'm. All right. Time to preview the other matches. The other fixtures in this round 5 of A-League. Wellington Phoenix take on Adelaide at Westpac Stadium on Saturday at 5:35 PM New South Wales time. Emma, what's your prediction?
Oh yeah, I think Adelaide are going to have it all over Phoenix. I think Phoenix against us looked as nice as they were going to look, and I think they're done for the season, flash in the pan. So yeah, I'm going to pick Adelaide to win 2-0.
Okay, Andy?
Adelaide by greater than 5.
Wow. That's ambitious. I will say that Adelaide will have a 2-1. Suncorp Stadium, Brisbane versus Melbourne City. Who is going to win that one, Andy? 7:50 PM kickoff.
Brisbane 2-1.
Okay, Em?
I don't want to be like an echo, but yeah, I'm going to go Saints.
I'm saying 1-1 draw. Sunday, 5 PM sees the big blue Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory.
Don't call it that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. all right, fair enough. Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory, 5 PM, Emma. Watch.
I'm going to tip Sydney FC, but I'm going to hope for a draw. I'm going to hope for some injuries, and I'm going to hope for some cards.
We don't play either team for a fair while. That won't help us.
No, I don't care. I'm spiteful.
Okay, so you're just picking a draw.
Yeah, let's go 1-1.
Okay, Andy?
I think a victory 1-0 win.
I'm picking a nil. Perth versus Central Coast Mariners at the ripe old time of 7 PM Sunday. Perth are at home, Andy. What are you going there?
This is going to be goals round. I reckon it will be a 7-2 win to Perth.
Jesus Christ, the Andy specialist going to take over the bogey special, I think.
Andy's been drinking again. Okay. Emma, what are you going with? 7-2. Well,
I am impressed with the Andy special.
As long as they don't beat the 8-2 that we put in against them, that just needs to stand for longer.
Well, that's the only reason the Mariners get the 2, is because it has to at least look good on that end.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with the good old Bodie special for the Mariners there.
I think Perth are good. So, Bodie Special, for those that are new listeners to the pod, is a 4-0 to whoever the Mariners. News and events. Some wonderful news, Emma, that Johnny Katrimbas has resumed training following the removal of this lump that was in his neck and the commitment of his treatment. He has rejoined the team. That's got to be a boost for such a young player to be able to rejoin his teammates.
Yeah, I'm not terribly surprised. Thyroid cancer, as I think I've said privately to you guys, thyroid cancer is not like other cancers. You literally just whip it out and you have one treatment and you're done. It's not the kind of debilitating ongoing illness that you have with other cancers. The biggest problem with getting your thyroid out is your thyroid is the part of your body that makes the hormones that basically metabolize your energy. You can't make energy to live without your thyroid. So he's going to be on medication to replace that if he's had it removed. And that can take a little while to stabilize. So I had half my thyroid out a couple of years ago. And it takes quite a little while for your body to get back to normal when you mess with those hormones. So he's going to be working to adjust his that hormone level at the same time as he's going to be working to get back into training after a big surgery. So I think it's great that he's training again. And, you know, there's nothing really to worry about in terms of the actual cancer. But, I mean, unless he's like one of the very unlucky 1%. But in terms of seeing him, you know, restabilize in terms of fitness and, you know, muscle building and getting back like that, that could be up and down for quite a while. He could be those synthetic hormones he's taking could kick in real well, and he could, you know, have a brilliant week at training, and then, you know, it could drop off again and he might need to work on that further. So I wouldn't expect too much from him straight away, because it really could go either way. But it is good that he's back training, and it's actually sooner than I thought. I'm pretty sure after I had my surgery, I was still sulking on the couch at this stage. So yeah, he's tougher than me.
I mean, from a player's mental state as well, it must be relieving for Johnny to be back out there and rejoining his teammates. It can never be an easy thing sitting on the sideline, him at training, and you wishing that you're out there. Got to be happy that he's back.
Yeah, and it seems to be something that Laurie is very big on, that obviously they manage the whole situation with Ronnie's injury, and it just seems like they want to build a club that gets around their players even when they're hurt or injured, sick, whatever it is. So I think it's certainly a good thing that he is able to get back out on the park and even just involved, because that's only going to help recovery with mindset and all that sort of stuff. So definitely the right environment to be in, I feel. If you're going through something, come to the Jets.
Yeah, exactly right. So very good. Well, that's all the news that I've managed to find. Has anyone else got anything they'd like to talk about before we finish up for the night? Excellent. Great. I'll take the silence as acceptance. So thank you very much, everyone, for taking the time to listen to us today. We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast and this preview into both the A-League and the W-League clashes this weekend against the Western Sydney Wanderers. Of course, as well, thank you to my guests, Emma.
Thank you, Dave.
And Andy.
Pleasure as always, David.
If people want to find us, the Jetstream is online. We are now on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JetstreamNewey. Twitter and Instagram, you can find us with the hashtag at JetstreamNewey as well. Email is podcast@newcastlefootball.net. So we're also on not just Spotify, but also TuneIn Radio. You can find us there, and also on Google Podcasts as well. So heaps of stuff, heaps of ways you can find us, you can listen to us. We are everywhere, people. As I said, world domination is the key aim and key goal of the Jetstream podcast. If you've enjoyed listening to us, we, of course, appreciate an Apple iTunes feedback. Good luck to all those people who are competing in this weekend's Jetstream A-League fantasy team. Unless you're playing me, I wish you all the worst luck in the world. Until then, next time, when we review this this upcoming match on Tuesday, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
That was terrible.
Interesting stress on the there, Andy.
Someone's got to do it.
No, they don't. They really don't.